In the ongoing effort to avoid commercials on our show, we bring you a commercial from us. My subby and I have created a boutique adult toy store on my website. We have handpicked items that are low cost and show up on your doorstep with all of your other Amazon packages. Make sure, though, that you open them, not your kids. Go to kristenkellogg.com or find the link in the notes of this episode. We will get a percentage of the sales from the items exclusively on my storefront. You get some special items to enhance your FLR, and we all win without a stupid-ass commercial.
I giggle every time I see Dollar General has a truck there. I'm like, oh, great, more shit they can't put away.
Ooh, my table is squeaky.
This podcast is intended for mature audiences only. If you are not 18 years of age or older, there are thousands of other podcasts you can listen to, and you can come back and visit us when you are 18. This podcast is meant solely for entertainment. We are not licensed doctors, lawyers, or therapists. We simply have a fascination with the lifestyle and a love to share it with you and get your thoughts and opinions.
Hey everyone, join me on my journey from living a 100% vanilla life to tiptoeing into a whole new world I never knew existed. Exploring a life that puts a whole new spin on sex and its meaning to me. From chastity devices and cuckolding to my experiences and the lifestyle. I have met some amazing people and had some crazy experiences and learned a lot about myself along the way. Welcome to Christine's FLR Podcast.
Welcome back. Episode 3 of our Locktober series. Today, we are going to talk about myths around chastity. And I got an email from a listener that I think will be a fantastic addition to an article that my subby found from Male Chastity Journal. I will link that in my show notes, or he will, because that's his job. But before we get into that, let's talk housekeeping, shall we? The first thing I would like to say is, and I did a post on my Patreon, thank you to everyone who has had some patience with me. The last couple of weeks have been pretty crazy, slash life-changing, slash emotional, slash all the things. The women's group, the first women's group, is the top priority. I would like to do it next week in the evening. I am Central Standard Time Zone. I will try to do a time that works. However, if everyone is okay with it, I would like to record. And if you are not able to attend but are interested in the conversation that took place, the women's group, I'd like to record the Zoom meeting. And then if you missed it, you can private message me on Patreon or shoot me a message and I will send you the link to the meeting or the recording of the meeting so you can hear what was discussed in case there's something you might glean helpful from it. So for the women's group, that Zoom meeting will be available to the women. For the men's group, it will be available to the men. And for the couples group, I will just post the recorded meeting on my Patreon so everyone has access to it. I really want these groups to be a safe space for people to talk about real life things. And while I don't encourage keeping things from your partner, sometimes it is easier to have the discussion first with people who aren't in your dynamic. And that will allow you the ability to feel more comfortable bringing it up to your partner. So that was my goal with the whole recording of the Zoom meeting. It's not to keep anything from your partner or anything along those lines. I just want to have a safe space for us as women to talk, and the men's group will be with my husband, so that will be private to the men. If anyone has any thoughts on that, you can hit me up on Patreon or shoot me an email. I have a folder in my email. Also, if you have just emailed me, I will let you know via email what the plan is for the date of the first women's group meeting. I do apologize for the short notice, but it is a priority for me to get this done because I very much look forward to talking to my ladies. I think that's about all for housekeeping. We are currently scrambling to find an apartment for 6 months. We are not going south this winter. So that has kind of been a top focus somewhat in my life currently. And it's a real struggle to find someone to do a 6-month lease, which I understand if you own an apartment, doing flip after 6 months, you are losing money. And I totally understand. It just sucks that we're struggling to find something. But that's about it for the housekeeping. So let's dive in to this episode or this topic of myths about chastity. Again, is the Male Chastity Journal is the website. Myth or fact regarding chastity. I do like how it starts. It says there's a lot of information floating around on male chastity, and it looks like there was some research done to separate fact from fiction. The first one says, it is dangerous for a male not to ejaculate for a long time. That says myth. I know I've discussed this previously on previous episodes. Every person is different. Every body is different. I think that, you know, we had talked to Dr. B on a previous episode, and there are obviously some huge health benefits to ejaculating regularly for your health. However, again, talk to your personal medical professional who knows you and knows your conditions, because again, everybody is different. According to this article, however, it says there is no adverse effect if a male doesn't ejaculate for months or even years. It does also bring up, there is some data published by the Journal of American Medical Association that higher emissions were correlated with a lower rate of prostate cancer, but this is over a long period of time and increment of health is slight. So I think you do with that information what you want. I have always been a little leery of cutting my subby off for extended periods of time. But that's just my personal, I mean, he can jerk off in the shower. That's fine. As long as I give him permission. I mean, obviously, otherwise it would be locked and it'd be real hard to jerk it off then, wouldn't it? Locked up and unable to achieve an erection, a male can still orgasm and ejaculate. This is a fact. And I also knew that. Both men and women can achieve orgasm without any direct genital stimulation. Some can reach orgasm just with nipple or anal stimulation. Most men have at some point in their lives had an orgasm during the night without any physical stimulation. So basically, wet dreams, things like that. Now the question is, if your subby is locked up and he comes in his sleep, do you punish him for it? Probably not. I guess it depends on your dynamic. After being locked in a chastity device, a male will become more attentive and interested in his partner. I disagree. This says myth. I believe that is absolutely incorrect. I believe that is fact. However, I do believe that is dependent on your dynamic. It really depends on your view of the chastity, what it means to you, how it plays a role in your relationship. The article says a key storyline in many male chastity fantasies is that the male will immediately redirect his sexual energy to pleasing his partner. This, the fantasy says, is the result of the device being locked on his penis. There is no physical difference between being locked in a chastity device and simply abstaining from sex voluntarily. I also disagree with that. While it is certainly true a caged male will try to find ways to get his keyholder to give him an orgasm, there is absolutely no evidence that there is an automatic transference of sexual satisfaction to his keyholder. However, like many myths of this type, if you believe it, you can make it true for you. That whole paragraph kind of rubs me the wrong way. I don't know that my subby has a choice. When that cage goes on, it is so much more mental for us than physical. And in our dynamic, especially the last couple of weeks, the key has significantly had more weight around my neck. I am much more aware of the connection to my subby because of this cage. I will also say that whether he does it consciously or subconsciously, the second that lock clicks, something changes. Now, maybe that is something that he is choosing to make come true, or I don't know, that's a bad way to put it, but maybe it's a form of a habit that he just knows when that lock clicks that he needs to switch over to this different mindset. I can't speak for him, but I know there is a definite change from when he is locked to when he is not. And like I say, every dynamic is different. I can't say this is true for everyone. I don't necessarily know that all women feel the feelings I feel about chastity. Everybody is different. Some women may feel like this is more work. And if you feel like chastity is work in your dynamic, that's a conversation to sit down and have with your partner. Like, what is making it feel like more work to you? Not all women relate the same emotions to chastity that I do. Every woman is different. We are all wired different and we are complicated motherfucking creatures. Let me tell you, I am for sure. I feel a sense of power and control having the ability to lock or unlock him. It doesn't feel like work to me. I kind of thrive off of it. Like, I like knowing that if I decide I want to have penis and vagina sex with my husband, all I have to do is unlock that cage and I get to do what I want. It should never feel like work. And I don't know, I mean, out of everything that we've been through and this whole journey of our dynamic evolving and things like that, I'm not sure why, but chastity has been the thing that has been the easiest for me. I have just, I don't know, gone with the flow of things and really grasped the concept and very much enjoy this aspect of our dynamic. And it sure isn't that way for everyone. And all the conversation needs to be had. The communication is important. Ooh, did I just say important? After being locked in a chastity device, a male automatically becomes submissive and desires to do household chores. Myth. Again, I think this is specific to each relationship. I mean, whether or not my subby is locked, he desires to be helpful to me. It's probably more intensified when there is a cage on his cock, but even before chastity, he was always very good about helping around the house. And I think that's kind of at the core foundation that we are partners and I'm not the only one that lives in the house and he can do things to help out around the house because he also makes a mess in the house, things like that. However, at the end of the day, I don't want him to do those things because he doesn't do them my way, which is clearly the right way. So there's that. Male chastity fantasies claim that when the keyholder takes control of a male's penis, he automatically becomes a docile domestic slave. I agree I don't think that's true at all. That is certainly not true of me or many men who are caged. I would agree with that. There's more in there, but you can check out the article if you want to read that whole paragraph. There should be some pain associated with wearing a chastity device. Myth. This is a big one. A well-designed chastity device should not hurt to wear. Too many males buy inexpensive plastic cages that irritate the skin behind their balls or other areas on their genitals. It does go into talk about specific cages. I'm not going to get into that. I do also agree that there should not be pain associated with chastity. Yes, while I enjoy locking my subby's dick in a cage, I don't want him to be in pain constantly. Do I get a kick out of him getting a night boner? Probably a little bit. However, those subside after time with him specifically. So, I mean, yes, I do enjoy his pain a little bit. However, I obviously do not want him to be in pain. It should be comfortable to wear unless he's getting an erection. Then, of course, I want it to be very uncomfortable. That's just me. The key holder gets many benefits from locking up her male. I disagree with this one. It says myth. It says, let's face it, being a key holder is work. She has to deal with the extras that a caged male wants, such as regular teasing, maintaining some release schedule, and accommodating the fantasies that go along with forced chastity. The fantasy claims she gets endless sexual pleasure and a docile male to do her housework, laundry, and paint her nails. I also don't like this one at all. The key holder gets many benefits from locking up her male is a myth. I disagree with that. I also don't ever feel like me being a key holder is work. I think it all depends on your mindset. And I think that very much have a different perspective, I think, of our key holding chastity dynamic. I don't know that I focus on anything more than the mental aspects of things. I do enjoy his attentiveness towards me when he is locked, but I never feel like it's work. If it ever feels like work, you, like I've said, you have to sit down and have communication. It should be something you enjoy. It shouldn't feel like work. I mean, if you have your dream job, it's a job, but if you love it, it doesn't feel like work. It's not that it's the same thing, but I guess that's how I look at it. I very much enjoy our dynamic, and chastity has never really felt like work to me. It's never felt like something, ugh, I have to do this, because I truly love this part of our dynamic so much. Maybe I'm looking at it wrong. Maybe it is work and I don't view it that way because I enjoy it so much. And it's so much more mental than physical for me. Okay, on to the next one. Forced male chastity improves a marriage. Plausible. I think this is dependent on everybody's individual relationship. I think it can go either way. You can be in chastity and it totally destroys your marriage because your partner feels like it's work, or the two of you aren't communicating well with what the dynamic is and what it means to you both, and you're not on the same page. There's miscommunication. There's, it's not enjoyable. So then it does feel like work. There's so many factors that could play into this. I 100% believe that chastity has improved our marriage, but that's our marriage. So you have to gauge, one, what level of chastity do you want to practice? And two, what does it mean to the two of you? Why are you practicing chastity? Locking your partner's dick in a cage because you don't trust them seems like a very bad idea. I think that the trust issues should be sorted prior to putting a cage on your partner's penis. However, that being said, I totally understand the feeling of security that it gives you having that, because I can be a very jealous person, and I've never hidden that on this podcast. I've said all the time, my subby's mine and only mine, and I'm not sharing. Now, will I always have those views? No, I sure don't think I will. I think our relationship will evolve and things will change. And I think that there's a possibility that that jealousy will subside a little bit. I just have to figure out, I mean, I'm human. Jealousy is a human emotion. It's just what happens. So whether or not chastity improves your marriage is really dependent on your dynamic, your relationship, and what your chastity journey looks like. So I would agree that I do like chastity won't cure your marital problems. It sure will not. The first chastity belts were used by soldiers leaving to fight in the Crusades in order to keep their women pure. That is a myth. This myth started in Victorian times. In fact, many museums were sold chastity belts that were supposed to come from that period. They turned out to be fakes. The first known chastity devices were actually created in Victorian times. In those days, a popular idea was that masturbation led to insanity or criminal behavior. Devices were created to prevent boys from masturbating. Female chastity devices were never popular. Women don't need access to their genitals to orgasm, and any chastity device will make it difficult for hygiene. Chastity devices have always been intended for males. I would be very curious how I tried very hard, and if you are listening to this and you have insight into the history of chastity and when it actually started and all of those things, I would be very curious. If you have articles, send them to me, because I wanted to do an episode on the history of chastity, where it started, why it started, whatever. And I really struggled to find anything. Now, did I give it 100% of my effort? Probably not so much, but I am very interested in that topic. I received an email from a listener, and I really thought it was just a fantastic email, and I want to share it with you. I very much enjoy chatting with this person. It is very thought stimulating, and I don't know, it's just nice. So there's a list of a few things. I think there might also be some stories in here, but I thought that this email happened to tie in perfectly with what I wanted to do this episode on. So number one, the most important thing with male chastity is communication. And you've all heard this as stated in the email, and there's a reason for it. Tell your partner what you want and what you are feeling. Listen to your partner. It sounds basic, but I think most people don't actively practice it. Effective communication solves lots of problems, and you have to work on it. So on the note of communication, there is something that has kind of surfaced about how I listen or about how I feel people listen to me when I'm talking, specifically my ex-husband. It was very blindingly clear in a conversation that I had with him. But I think that you need to actively listen when your partner is speaking to you. Actively listen to what they're saying and don't be focused on what your response to what they're saying is going to be. And if there's anything I've learned in the last 2 weeks, it's give yourself some time to process. Don't immediately do the first response that comes to your brain because it might not be an accurate response with how you're feeling. I think sometimes in communication, people can feel attacked and they automatically feel the need to defend themselves. And that's just a human reaction. So actively listen to your partner. Don't be thinking what your response is going to be or how you need to defend yourself, or just actively listen to what they're saying and really process what they're saying. And I mean, really, there is nothing you can't do if you have good communication, in my opinion. Number two, for anyone interested in chastity, here is what might be a hard reality. You're going to have to try numerous devices. That is a fact. If you want to do this long term, unless you are incredibly lucky or have an insane pain tolerance, you're going to have to experiment with several devices. He goes on to talk about the device specifically that he uses. Again, I'm not going to get into that currently, but be prepared. I would suggest, and I don't know if I've suggested this in the past because my brain forgets things from 5 minutes ago, but maybe start out with the cheaper devices and find out which style you like, and then maybe increase the amount you're allotting for purchasing a cage. He does go on to say the two best fitting devices are custom stainless steel. Neither of them were cheap, but they were worth every penny. You have to decide again, you don't want to go and drop a ton of money on a cage and then find out that it's not going to work for your dynamic. I mean, things are so expensive nowadays and you work hard for your money and, you know, don't spend it on something that you're not 100% set on continuing to do. And I'm just going to kind of glaze over this. But you know who you are who sent this to me, and I absolutely love this email. Three, which ties into number two, but be realistic. You're dealing with a body part that fluctuates greatly in size, and this is a fantastic point. Well, maybe not greatly for those of us who have a small penis. I did like that a lot. Not just the penis, but the scrotum. Everything changes constantly. Come to think of it, this is probably the worst body part with which to affix a device. With this in mind, be patient with measuring. Be diligent and measure often if you're looking for a custom device. Do it when you get out of the shower. Do it when you get dressed for work. Do it after working out. You'll be surprised at the differences. Now, I don't have a penis, so I don't know the answers to this, but I think that is a great point. I mean, it only makes sense. And I know from seeing my subbies, male parts, they fluctuate. Things change. Sometimes his balls look one way. Sometimes they look a different way. I like to hit them either way. We're going to just shoot right on down to one of the best pieces of advice I have for people seriously interested in chastity, aside from the sizing, that is most crucial is to consider a penis piercing. Now, this one made me cringe a little bit, but I will say this email has me thinking, and I think there could be a piercing in my husband's future as he looks at me. Maybe not. Okay. Aside from sizing, that is most crucial to consider is a penis piercing. I got a PA piercing, Prince Albert piercing, 3 years ago, and it totally elevated our chastity experience. I can't adequately explain the mindset change from a device that is on the honor system to one that is literally inescapable. FYI, key holders, any ball trap device is escapable. I've used them and I've escaped them all. They are 100% honor system. I'm not saying it's easy or comfortable to slide a penis out of a device, but it's entirely doable. I am not saying your penis having person is still wanking off at every opportunity. I'm just saying it's possible. Now, that is a thought. I mean, there have been times where my subby has slipped a ball and once one's out, the other one will painfully follow. And that's pretty much, then the cage can come right off. However, in our dynamic, I don't know that I'm going to be able to watch somebody shove a needle through the head of his penis, but things change. You never know. I was very weary about getting a piercing. I hemmed and hawed for years. My wife wasn't entirely on board, but her friends convinced her. I'm not opposed to piercings or tattoos, but I prefer they aren't part of me. So I have stories that will go for our Halloween episode that my subby will be here with me. And we are going to talk about different stories about chastity. And for anyone who hasn't heard the TSA story, I suspect that will come back to life this time around because it was fucking fantastic. So that kind of concludes the different myths maybe, and just different misconceptions about male chastity. I mean, kind of in summation, it really is about your journey and what you're looking to achieve from participating in this dynamic. Everybody's goals or wants and needs from this addition to your dynamic are going to be different because we as humans are different people. Obviously, there are similarities, but you have to go what feels good for your dynamic. And like I keep saying, it should never feel like work for either of you. And you should make sure your foundation is strong. I mean, this takes a lot of trust to participate in this aspect of things. And I very much appreciate the men out there who are interested in this dynamic or practicing chastity for the correct reasons. I also think that if you have the motivation and the willpower to lock yourself up and, you know, I don't know if prove is the right word, but to show your wife or your girlfriend or partner, whatever the case may be, how this can be a great addition to your dynamic, I think that's admirable. I appreciate the actions speak louder than words. I mean, that really is what that is. You're showing your partner how great this dynamic can be. And I'm sure there will be bumps along the road. I mean, listen, I think I'm a rarity. I saw the cage and I wanted it on immediately. Chastity has always just been something that I very much enjoyed, but there are a lot of aspects to it that you have to grasp. The biggest one is, you know, a lot of women struggle with, well, I really like having sex with my husband. That could be another myth. You know what I mean? Just because you're in chastity doesn't mean you can't have sex with your husband whenever you want. And I think I've covered that in the previous two episodes of this series, so I will not continue down that rabbit hole again. Just show yourself some grace on your chastity journey and have all the communication with your partner, and you make it whatever works for you. It can be just a sexual thing. It can be very much a mental thing. It can be a great addition to your relationship, or it can maybe be something that isn't for your relationship. Talk it out with your partner, communicate, and accept what it is. I think that sums everything up that I was going to say. Next week will be horror stories or just stories of chastity or just different things from you. So if you have any stories you would like to share with me that you are okay with being on the podcast next week with my subby and I, reach out via email, social media, however you choose, whatever you think is the best method for you to reach me and share your stories. I would love to hear them. And if you want to share but don't want it on the podcast, just let me know. I always love interacting with you. All of that being said, I hope you have a fantastic week. Stay safe, be a good human being, and I love you all. Mwah! Thank you so much for listening today. I genuinely appreciate your time. If you happen to have any questions, all of my contact information is in the show notes of this and every episode. Don't hesitate to reach out. Also, in the show notes, there is a link to my Patreon, where your support is incredibly appreciated. Patrons have access to advanced and extra content from this and other podcasts that we produce, FLR consulting via messages and video, and input on the production of each podcast. There is also a link to my OnlyFans page, My fans on that platform have access to almost daily posts of photos and videos of me and me torturing my subby, full and sample erotic audios, and other posts. OnlyFans is now the safe place where you can order custom erotic audios, videos, and photos. Mention that you heard it on this podcast for a 10% discount. Most importantly, though, if you have the option to rate and review my podcast on the platform you listen to it on, please do. Good ratings and reviews help boost my podcast in the charts so that more and more people are able to hear what I have to say about the lifestyle. Until next week, be good to yourself and each other.